Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in the 15th chapter, and we've been talking about the laws associated with discharges from men and from women. And I told Pete in the office that I look at this through a different lens. I know that I've told y'all many times before, because it was just so impactful to my heart. It changed everything about how I view the Lord. When I came across that verse, it was my very first revelation of the Word of God. The Lord is telling Moses who He is. He's merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That made such an impact on my heart that everything that I read in the Word of God, I looked through that lens. And I was telling Pete about this issue with women with the menstruation, how, I can see why the Lord would say that's unclean, because it is unclean. Even in our culture today, with all the advancements and everything that we have today, it's unclean. And you think about, I thought about our time like in Lavatois and how we've saw some women. Pete brought up women, in different countries, how some don't have running water. They bathe at the river and they use the water that they can get a hold of, and how difficult that would be at best. But in getting back to that, the Lord is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And you think about this time of separation for a woman during her menstrual cycle, to where she really had a period of rest during that time, because anything she touched would have been unclean. And I asked Pete, like, how do you cook dinner? You can't even touch anything. Everything's unclean. Well, hey, guess what I don't have to do? So there's a period of rest, so to speak, and how that can be, that to me, I look at that's the mercy of God, because that can be a difficult time. For women, it can be difficult. And the other thing that I thought about, and I'm just telling y'all, this is my perspective. The only scripture that I have is back in Exodus. But in looking at this, the seed of copulation, where, man and woman lie together, and the Word of God says, now you're unclean. Well, I look at that, that could be a thing of beauty, in that if you have a healthy marriage, then all of a sudden you've got this man and this woman, husband and wife, that have a time of separation together, where that would be a time of unity with your husband, of time together where you can't be, anything you touch is going to be unclean, so you're going to be separated as a unit until evening. You could look at it that way. If it's a healthy marriage, we could be a disaster if not, but I don't know. I know that the Lord's ways, they're higher than mine. His thoughts are higher than mine. He's smarter than me. But I also know that He loves His creation. And so He wants what's best for His creation. And do we understand all this? Of course not. How could we? But what we can learn, and what we do know, and what we know from experience, is the things of the flesh make us unclean. Now that's a spiritual principle that we know to be true. And so, I know for me personally, when the things of my flesh, and I know when they make me unclean, there's got to be a separation, and I got to run to the Lord. Just me and Him, a time of separation. Let's get this thing taken care of, Jesus. Help me, please, forgive me. And so separation, you could look at it in a positive light, you could look at it in a negative light, but the point of it is here, God wants his people clean. He wants us so distinctly different. I keep that before me often. That's probably why you hear me say it many times over again. I ponder on that. I should not be like the world, nor should you. If I'm in Jesus, I should be different. I should be acting differently. People should be seeing light, not darkness, when I come on the scene. You know, salt, not Tabasco sauce. Something to consider.
You know, one thing, as she was talking, I was thinking about, with the laws that God had set in place, when the man and woman came together, they would both know they were clean. Yeah, I mean, it's there's some validity to all that, you know, as far as sanitary.
Yeah. I think that we're in verse 28. Excuse me. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. And after that, she shall be clean. Verse 28.
Yes, sir. Okay. There's the 7 days again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, 7 days after her discharge stops, the 8th day, what's she to do? She's to take the 2 turtle doves. If you're looking at King James translation, one place there it says 2 turtles. It's not turtles. It's turtle doves, okay? Or actually, the Hebrew says ring dove, if you look that word. I don't know. They just dropped that word somewhere in there. But anyway, there had to be the sacrifice made for her after the discharge stopped. And that was done on the 8th day.
Okay. Let me pick up with verse 30. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness.
And so here again, there's a sin offering and a burnt offering that had to be offered in order for the atonement to be made. For the woman, atonement before the Lord.
Thus shall you separate the children of Israel for their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them.
Now, note that they would defile the tabernacle. If you were unclean and you went to the tabernacle, you participated in all these things, then you would be defiling the tabernacle. We're going to get into the 16th chapter, but every year, even the Holy of Holies had to be cleansed. It had to have blood every year. Why? Because the sin of the people was touching the very depth of that, you understand? And if you think about it, Jesus carried his blood into heaven. That's mm-hmm. how far-reaching the uncleanness, the sin, is. And so he did not want his tabernacle defiled, nor does he want our tabernacle, which is his. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? He doesn't want that defiled. He said, him who defiles it will be destroyed. And so we're to keep this tabernacle holy to the Lord. Okay?
I underlined that in my Bible there because it really jumped out at me that you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness.
Mm-hmm.
And so God was telling Moses and Aaron this protocol. Listen, This is what makes you unclean. You follow this protocol to make you clean. Now, this is how you get clean. We've been given the same charge, haven't we, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got this sin nature that makes you unclean. There's not a thing in the world you can do about it, but I know someone who can. But we have to tell people, lest they die in their uncleanness. You see the parallel with that? I thank the Lord for this word. Verse 32. This is the law of him that has an issue, and of him whose seed goes from him and is defiled therewith, and of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue, of the man and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean.
So one law applied for everybody in the nation of Israel. No double standards. The only, you look at this, to me, is pointing to the new covenant. There's only one law, one sacrifice that can make you clean. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It didn't matter what your nationality was. If you came into that nation, it didn't matter what your gender was. If you were in that nation, you were going to be clean. There was one law, and you had to follow that one law. Well, when you look at us, there's one way to become clean, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
I had a question asked of me, and this is spur of the moment, about the evening, why until evening. But their clock, so to speak, was different from ours in that their day started at evening versus ours starts in the morning.
But it's still a 24-hour period.
Right. But it's the cycle is...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chapter 16. Now, I want to start right away with a test question review. Chapter 16 gives specific instructions concerning the Day of Atonement. The key phrase that we're looking for here on the test is Day of Atonement. Chapter 16 gives specific instructions concerning the Day of Atonement.
We're going to really count down with this chapter because it's you cannot understand redemption that Jesus did without understanding this chapter. And you see what's done and how Jesus fulfilled the law. Okay? And we'll learn here that it was more than being crucified. The Day of Atonement required two goats, not one. Redemption required, for redemption to be fulfilled, would require Jesus to fulfill those two goats. One dead, one living. And we'll look at this as we go along, okay?
Verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not.
So only one time a year could the high priest enter into the Holy of Holies behind the veil. And he could not go behind the veil without blood on this Day of Atonement. And it's interesting the way that God had it set up. He actually went behind the veil twice. One, to cleanse himself, carry the blood for himself, before he could actually represent the people to the Lord. He had to get an atonement for him before he could get atonement for the people. Okay.
It sounds to me when we read this that Aaron must have been going in more. He must have been going in to the Holy of Holies. It sounds that way. And the Lord said, one time, go when I say.
But you and I have access all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a better covenant than new covenant.
Okay. Verse 3. Thus Aaron come into the holy place with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on.
So there was a particular way that he had to dress. And I mean, this, if he did not follow this procedure, it cost him his life, okay? Number one, he has to bathe. He has to be clean.
Right.
Then he has to put on the garments. His flesh has to be covered, even his head. It has to be covered before he can go in behind that veil. And when he goes in, he has to go in for himself first. This is, you see a different offering here. Now we're talking about a bull and a ram, right? A young bull for a sin offering and the ram for a burnt offering. And so he puts on this holy garment, which, if I understand it correctly, this is depicting righteousness. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's the clothing that God ordained and orchestrated that would allow him to be in right standing in the presence of God. That's why it was so important that when he went in to that Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, with the presence of God, then he had to be in right standing. And God had it set up with the sitar that would put him in right standing.
So let's think about, well, what does that mean for us, right? Who cleanses us? Jesus, right? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Who are we to put on? We have a holy garment too, and his name is Jesus. We're to clothe ourselves. You know, we cannot go before Father God of our own accord. He does not accept Heather without Jesus. It's got to be the package deal, you understand.
Aaron didn't earn right standing. Mm-hmm. When he put on this high priestly garments, it made him to be in right standing to go into the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we have been, that Jesus was made sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God. You can't attain to righteousness. You're made righteous, and the only way you can be made righteous is through Jesus. That's what this is pointing to, I believe, in his dress, okay?
That's good. Verse 5, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering.
And so now the people are supplying the 2 goats, right?
Mm-hmm.
The congregation of the descendants of Israel, they're to bring 2 kids of the goats as a sin offering and then a ram as a burnt offering. 2 kids of the goat as a sin offering. That's significant.
Verse 6. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house.
So he has to make an atonement, this sin offering, to make an atonement for himself before he's eligible to make an atonement for the nation of Israel.
Verse 7. And he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness.
Aaron had to offer this bull for himself as a sin offering because Aaron wasn't sinless, nor was any other high priest sinless. But Jesus was sinless. And so he offers himself for the people. Now, when you look at the two goats that are brought to Aaron or to the high priest, they were presented to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle courtyard. And Aaron was to cast lots for them. This simply means that they can't say, well, I want this goat to be the Lord's goat, this goat to be the scapegoat. The casting lots took man's choice out of the scenario. Okay? And so when whichever one the lot fell on to be the Lord's goat, then that just said, all right, this goat is going to be killed, which the other goat is going to be kept alive. Okay? Here again, no man didn't have choice with Jesus. Okay, God chose him, and he chose how as far as the method. And so, when he took the Lord's goat, he's offering that for a sin offering, and the remaining goat would be used as a scapegoat. And it was, they both are presented to the Lord to make atonement for the nation of Israel. So after following God's procedure for atonement, the live scapegoat was to be turned loose in the wilderness in a place where it couldn't find his way back into the camp. Now I put strong emphasis on this because I feel like the Lord revealed this to me many years ago. And I heard a minister on TV, a TV minister, and he kept saying it wasn't the blood enough, talking about Jesus. And I said, no, that wasn't enough. God did not want our sins just forgiven only. He wanted our sins removed. The blood was shed because that's the punishment, that's the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. But God wanted that removed from us. There's a forgiveness of sin, there's a removal of sin. And so when they offered the Lord's goat, then they received forgiveness of sin. Now when the scapegoat, and we'll get into more detail with this, when the scapegoat is led out, then that scapegoat is taking the sin of the nation away from the nation. So you have a forgiveness, you have a removal. Thank God, through Jesus, he's forgiven our sins, and he's removed our sins. He has purged us, our consciences, from all guilt, to where there is no remembrance of sin. We're clean before the Lord.
Verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not.
Now we're actually back up
mm-hmm.
to Aaron doing this for himself and his family, first off, okay? And so he's offering this sin for himself and his family, so he takes the censer full of burning coals from off the brass altar. That's where they make the burnt offerings, okay, and the sin offering. He needs to fill his hands with this special incense, this fragrant incense that cannot be duplicated. And he was to go inside the Holy of Holies with these coals and with these incense. And he was to go to the, what's commonly called the Ark of the Covenant, but it's the box that had the testimony, the witness in it. And then the lid of that box is what's commonly called the mercy seat, where the cherubim are on that. All this is gold. Then he was to go before the Lord, and at that mercy seat, he is to offer this pleasant aroma before the Lord. It's this fragrance of this incense pleasing to the Lord. Which to me is when the sin's removed and the fragrance pleasant, okay? And this is for him and his family first, before he's even eligible to go before the Lord for the people.
And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times.
And so after burning this incense, he's to take some of the blood of the bull that he'd offered for himself and sprinkle it 7 times with his fingers on the east side of the sacred lid. The mercy seat, as it's called, and that covered the box of witness or the Ark of the Covenant. And so there's blood applied to that lid or to that mercy seat.
You know what I see in this before I move on? I mean, Aaron's having to deal with his own person first, with the blood. And even to the point where he's taking this incense before the Lord, this incense has to precede him. You know, the Lord will not tolerate, he will not have in his presence our stinking flesh before him. We have to come before God clean. And all of this, even right down to the fire, you know, God ignited that fire. We've already read that, remember? And this incense was his formula. This is my incense, remember? All of this is from the Lord. There's so much here. But verse 15. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat.
So after he has followed the procedure to get atonement for himself and for the family, then he's to kill the Lord's goat. And do with the Lord's goat what he did with the bull for himself and his family. He's to go back in to behind the veil, the Holy of Holies, go before the ark, And then he's to sprinkle that blood for the people upon the mercy seat. Now, or the lid, whatever. He's giving mercy for himself and then for the people or for the entire nation as well. Okay?
Verse 16, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness.
Notice this. You see seven there again. Seven times he sprinkled the blood. The completion, okay? Then after this procedure's followed, atonement would be made for the Holy of Holies. That just shows that the sin is affecting that tabernacle in the midst of it. You follow me? Then, so it was necessary to atone the Holy of Holies because of the uncleanness of the Israelites, because of their transgressions. And then the atonement would cover, not remit, but it would cover all the sins of the Israelites for a year. And so the atonement ceremony was to be done annually because the sins of the Israelites by whom the tabernacle was surrounded. The tabernacle is in the midst of them, so the tabernacle of God is surrounded by sinful people. And so this had to be done annually, so where they're covered for a year. And then you'll find in the history of Israel that they got to where they didn't carry out the things, the festivals that God had ordained the way he had ordained it. And then you can see the result of that and how Israel ceased to be a nation, went into captivity. But you can also see the mercy of God, how today they are a nation, okay?
Verse 17. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make an atonement in the holy place until he comes out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel.
No one could be in the tabernacle when Aaron went in for atonement. He alone was responsible for that. Remember what Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He alone was responsible for getting that job done in the redemption of mankind. Okay.
Verse 18. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel.
And so here, after the Holy of Holies is atoned, and he's to go out to the brass altar where all the sacrifices, the burnt offerings are made. And he's to take the blood of the bull and of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar. Then he's to sprinkle some of the blood, here again, seven times with his finger on the altar. And this procedure, note this, would cleanse and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites, which is, it's interesting here, this blood cleanses, and in the previous chapter we talked about how blood made you unclean, but this is the blood of the innocent. Mm-hmm. It cleanses. The animal's innocent. The animal hasn't done anything wrong. And so you have to keep those things in perspective. Innocent blood is what Jesus offered, right?
Mm-hmm.
That cleanses us. Man offering his blood can't clean you. And so it took an innocent animal to cover the sin of sinful humanity under the law. And there again, there was a protocol that had to be followed in applying the blood to the altar. The things that man participated in, blood had to be applied to. Yet, where he's making his sacrifices, that altar, the blood had to be applied to that altar. And then to get the mercy of God, the blood's applied on the mercy seat. And under that mercy seat is the covenant. And so in reality, we're looking at a blood covenant, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
That God had between he and the nation of Israel.
Verse 20. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness.
So after Aaron has finished with the atoning of the most holy place, then the animals have been sacrificed. Now, I keep saying Aaron because this is how it initiated. But any high priest that followed, succeeded Aaron, had to go, were to do the same thing. And so after these things have been done, the Lord's gate, of course Aaron's bull, all this is done, then Aaron is to lay his hands on the head of the other goat, the live goat. Remember, they cast lots on the scapegoat. Now, with his hands laid on the head of that goat, he confesses all the sins of the nation of Israel over that goat, transferring their sin, the sin of the guilty, onto the head of the innocent. Now, obviously, this is by faith. But because they did what God said do, then they received atonement. Once the sins are confessed over this innocent goat that had not sinned, then a designated person was to take that goat into the wilderness, into an area to where that goat would not be able to find its way back into the camp. This is the removal. You with me? Forgiveness, removal. Now, that's what Jesus has done for us. And it's important that we understand that. The innocent dying for the guilty, the innocent bearing the sin. He has made him to be sin for us. How all the sins was put on him. Right? He never sinned. He was made to be sin, like we weren't righteous, but we were made to be righteous. Okay? Now, I got to stop. Okay, my time's up. So we'll get back to this in our next session because this is very important that we understand this, okay? Lord, I thank you for blessing us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us. Keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you leave before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend. Be safe out there on the wet road and try to stay as dry as you can.
He can think.